Philadelphia Phillies hit for the cycle, but it's not a player you expected it to be. Let's talk about it on this happy hour version of First Pitch. Yes, welcome on into First Pitch, your stop for daily MLB recaps here on the Inside Baseball Podcast Network. My name is Christian Rao. I'm from Athlon Sports, managing editor of Inside the Cardinals. And joining me today for the first time ever on First Pitch, really excited to have him on. We're going to jam some happy hour tunes here. Troy Brock from Athlon Sports. InsideThePhillies.com, you can find all his work, and he kills it. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today, Troy. We're going to talk about those Philadelphia Phillies. But first, let's get into it. Welcome onto the show. How you doing, man?
I'm good, Christian. Thank you for having me. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Well, it's going to be a good time. We're going to talk some Philadelphia Phillies here and, you know, just kick it back here on this happy hour heading into the weekend on First Pitch. Lots of crazy baseball to talk about that happened last night that we have going into the weekend, and a lot of it to do with the NL East. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the game last night. We're going to talk about that Philadelphia Phillies slump they just got out of and see if are they still out of it. And then we're going to look further ahead and see if the Philadelphia Phillies can hold off the rest of the teams in the NL East and maybe get to the World Series. We'll see if we can get them back there. So, Troy, let's start off with, first, the Philadelphia Phillies defeat the Washington Nationals. I mean, is defeat the right word? They put the hurt on them last night. And the biggest thing to take away from that is we have a cycle from Weston Wilson. Out of all the players that the Philadelphia Phillies could hit a cycle, we mentioned on the show this morning, Lindsay and I on First Pitch, we did not have Weston Wilson on our bingo card. I said, you know, out of all the bingo cards, I didn't even have him as my free spot. So we didn't have him as a case. Take me through that Weston Wilson cycle when we get going here, because we were talking in the Discord chat about how exciting it was. And you got me tuned in for the double to watch the cycle, but the rest of it I missed. So take me through that.
It was unexpected, to say the least. So he got the start because a left-handed pitcher was starting for the Nationals. So he was starting over Brandon Marsh. He doesn't even start every day. He came into the game with 50 career at-bats.
Oof.
Yeah, 50 career at-bats. He's a rookie. He's a 29-year-old rookie, no less. And his first at-bat, he struck out in his first at-bat in the first inning. So nothing there. And his next at bat came up in the fourth inning. He led off the fourth inning with a triple off the wall in right field. Jake Call, the Nationals right fielder, he kind of misplayed it a little bit, and it took a weird carom and bounced all the way to center field, and Weston just ran for days, and he got to third safely. And it was just amazing that he got a triple, because he entered the game not even having a triple this season in the majors or the minor leagues. So his first triple of the season, he comes back up in the same inning, and he gets a single in the same inning. His second at bat, same inning, he gets a single. I think I sent a message to y'all then. I said that Weston Wilson was a double and a home run shy of the cycle in the same inning, which is just insane. He comes back up later, his fourth at bat, and he hits a home run to right field, opposite field home run. And it's just from that moment on, it was just like, we're on cycle watch with Weston Wilson. Who would have thought, like you said, bingo card. Nobody had Weston Wilson on their cycle bingo card. And home run to right field. But there was a chance that he would not be coming back up to get a shot for the double, because there was not going to be a bottom of the ninth inning. The Phillies were up, I think his home run put us up 10-1 at the time. Mm-hmm. So highly unlikely there was going to be a bottom of the ninth inning. But in the seventh inning, the Phillies offense decided they'd take matters into their own hands and get Weston Wilson another shot. And they wound up getting enough men on base to where Wilson was going to be due up third in the eighth inning. He would have one shot at his double. And sure enough, he would hit that double to right field. Jake Call coming in clutch for Weston Wilson's cycle. He would try to make the play. He'd go for it.
And that double he hit looked like the outfielder dove for that catch. It hit the glove. And, you know, we were making a joke about it earlier on the show today. If that was away, if they weren't at Citizens Bank Park, is that ruled a double or is that ruled an error? Like,
it could go either way. Obviously, I might be a little biased. I think it would be a double either way.
A little bit.
But, But with him diving for it, I think that it has to be a double. Even though it's banged off his glove, if he dives for it, I think it has to be a double.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that would – if could you imagine? There'd be some Jim Joyce kind of comparisons if they would have ruled that an error on the official score. So, yeah, I think you're right. But it's that was the first thing that came to my mind. As soon as he hit that and the ball went out of his glove, I was like, are they going to rule that a hit? I hope they do. But are they going to? But eventually they did. I saw a really interesting stat out on Twitter last night when we were getting ready for – the show, and he's only the third player in history. Now, mind you, 50 at bats. Now he's making history. Third player in history to record the cycle while playing infield and outfield in the same game. So he did make the switch from infield and outfield, and he's only the third person in history to do that. I thought that was really interesting. Look at that, man. You're doing some crazy things in your first 50 at bats. You get the call up. You're doing awesome things for the Phillies. I have some people. You know, when you're on social media, he's already calling that he needs to be an everyday player over Marsh. So we already got some overreactions, I feel, but I think that's the point of baseball. Baseball's fun like that. So, you know, looking at this entire rest of the game, the Philadelphia Phillies took care of business against the Nationals, 13-3. They recorded 17 hits, and a lot of it came, and they only had three hits against, and a lot of that because of Zach Wheeler with an impressive start. For Zach Wheeler, he had a lot of doubts heading into these last couple starts. He started the season off really strong, Cy Young contender. The power rankings came out on ESPN or MLB. I think it was MLB actually, and they had him a little farther down the list before this start. I think he finds his way back up there. But with Zach Wheeler, his start yesterday, what's your thoughts about him? You think he can get back in the NL Cy Young race?
I think it's going to be tough to pass Chris Sale at this point. Chris Sale, just what he's been doing this year is insane. But if anybody can do it, it's going to be Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler is back on point right now. His last three starts, he's given up three earned runs in 20 innings. So pretty good over the last three starts. Last night was great. He lost a little bit of his sharpness at the end just because of the long fourth inning that the Phillies offense had. Fifth and sixth inning wasn't as sharp as the first four innings, but he was still phenomenal. Again, held the Nationals to three hits, struck out six, and he's back on it. He's our ace, and he proved last night why he is the ace of the Philly staff.
Well, I want to get your thoughts on the rest of this weekend coming up because it's Players Weekend, finish the Washington Nationals. And if we're talking Players Weekend, I think we have to talk Bryce Harper a little bit because I think he's one of the main guys that you think of when you think of Players Weekend. But before we do that, you know, they get that big win against the Nationals to start this series off. They came off another win against the Marlins to end that little two-game series. So they're on a two-game winning streak. Not a huge thing for the Philadelphia Phillies because they were surging at the beginning of the year. But to start off August, Troy, they did not have a great month. And really, since the All-Star break, they haven't had a great time either. But I really want to focus on that West Coast trip. They were slugging. In a skid. It wasn't slugging, not hitting. They were slow. They were not doing well. And they lose the series on the road to Seattle. They win the series, surprisingly, against the Dodgers. I thought that was, you know, after what they did, was pretty impressive. But then they go and turn it around and lose a four-game series to the Diamondbacks and then split with the Miami Marlins as soon as they get home. That seems like a slump to me if you're talking about where the Phillies have been at the beginning of the season and then where they are now. They have had such a great start to the season that they are still seven games up on the Atlanta Braves for the NL East. So before I get your thoughts on that portion, because we're got a lot to talk about in this happy hour version, it's just getting longer and longer as we go. Is that slump finally over? Is the Phillies finally out of that slump, or are we still maybe finding our way out of it?
I think that the second Marlins game, the one that the Phillies did win, I think that might have broken the slump. The team had a team meeting on that day. That was Wednesday. Team had a team meeting on Wednesday, and leading into that game, we were down early. It was 5-2 in the fourth or fifth inning, and then Kyle Schwarber hit a go-ahead grand slam. And I think that by the time this season is over, that moment, that go-ahead grand slam with two outs, everybody will look back on that and see that as the moment that the Phillies broke out of the slump. Because ever since that grand slam, the Phillies have been clicking on all cylinders like they were prior to the All-Star break. Like you said, the West Coast trip, was not great. They went 4-6 in that West Coast trip. They didn't get swept by any of the teams, so that's good. And they did win the series versus the Dodgers for the second time, I might add. They did sweep the Dodgers earlier in the season. But the West Coast trip, it was not pretty baseball on either side of the ball. Defense, offense, pitching, all of it since the All-Star break has just been bad. But I think that with that Marlins game, the go-ahead grand slam, I think that was the turning point, and I think that's got them back off to schneid and back in the right direction, and I think it's going to be a good rest of the season down the stretch.
Kyle Schwarber with the inflection point. If we are talking about the Philadelphia Phillies potentially back in the World Series this season, will that happen? I don't know. I'm going to get your thoughts at the end of the show here. But first, the Washington Nationals will finish off the weekend series here at Citizens Bank Park. As we mentioned earlier in the show, they got absolutely whomped in that first game. Take me through this series preview as we're going into the weekend here, Troy, because after this series with the Nationals, you have a tough, tough schedule ahead for the Phillies. And I think this is where we really start talking if they can hold off the Braves and the rest of the squad in the NL East to hold off that division. If they can get through the month of August doing okay, then I think they're okay. But first, take me through those Nationals. What's your thoughts on the rest of the series this weekend?
Well, Phillies have Nola going tonight, their second ace, if there can be a second ace against Patrick Corbin. I think that'll be a solid matchup for the Phillies. I think, honestly, I could see the Phillies going, taking 3 out of 4 easily in this series. The Nationals were off to a hot start at the beginning of the season, kind of surprising everybody with staying in contention for the majority of the first part of the season, but they fell off of late. But they're still pesky. They're still a divisional rival. You can't sell them short. It's baseball. Anything can happen on any day of the week. But I do think that Aaron Nola going tonight, we have our rotation set up nicely going into this weekend. And I think that it will play out that way for the Phillies.
Well, you got an off day on Monday after the Nationals, and after that you head into, I mean, I don't know if there's an easier schedule or a tougher schedule than what the Phillies are about to go into. Let's call that the gauntlet. But you're going in on Tuesday. You head to Truist Park. You play 3 games against the Atlanta Braves. Huge series. Huge series for playoff implications for the Braves and for the NLE standings. Then you go 3 on the road to Kansas City, who the Kansas City Royals are surging, trying to get to the AL Central lead. Then you come back home to face the Houston Astros, who inevitably are back in the lead of the AL West. And then you're back again at home to take on Atlanta for 4 games. You do all of that span without a day off. So in a 2-week span, you got to play all of those teams without a day off, a Monday to Monday stretch. Troy, how did the Phillies get through this?
It's going to be rough. It's going to be hard. It's if they can come out 7-7, or there's 13 games in 14 days. If they could come out 7-6 or 6-7, I would consider that a win. Out of the 3 opponents, I think the Braves will be our toughest. Obviously, that you know, the Astros are always juggernauts. They're always right there in World Series contention every year. The Royals, what they've done this season, what Bobby Witt Jr. is doing this season, throwing his name in there in the American League MVP race with Judge. It is absolutely insane. But the 7 games against the Braves and 7 games up in the division. So we have to win at least 3 of those 7 games to feel comfortable in going into September.
And they end the series of that crazy gauntlet. They end August heading into September with that 4-game series against the Braves. There is a possibility of those 4 games being the deciding factor of who wins the division with still a month left of baseball. I mean, it's crazy to say, but with the way the schedule is lined up, that's a possibility. I hate the fact that the only game we're getting in September of the Phillies and Braves is on September 1st, but that's just the way it's at. So say they go 6-7, they hold off the Braves and they make it to the NL East. They win the NL East division for the first time in quite some time. They're heading to the playoffs. They're probably going to get in one of those first round buys because it looks like whoever wins the Central, unless the Milwaukee Brewers continue to do what they're doing, because they've caught up to the Dodgers and the Phillies. But let's assume they also get a bye week here. you go back to the last few seasons, World Series appearance, couldn't get the World Series win. You get some playoff experience, still couldn't make the next step. What is different about this team this season compared to in the last years past that can make them make that final jump and get another World Series for this franchise?
I think it's just a more complete roster. We have just a more complete roster. Pitching is, we have a better pitching staff. Our pitchers, Ranger Suarez and Christopher Sanchez, have really developed very well. We are waiting on Ranger Suarez to come back from the injured list, and hopefully he can do what he was doing in the first half of the season when he does return. But with Ranger Suarez and Christopher Sanchez, and Christopher Sanchez will probably be coming out of the bullpen in the postseason if we don't need him for a game four. And our bullpen is just better this year than it has been. And really last year, the bullpen was the main issue. It was Craig Kimbrell blowing a save against the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Death taxes, Craig Kimbrell blown saves. Okay.
Yep. Absolutely. And we don't have Craig Kimbrell anymore. We do have a better bullpen with Carlos Estevez. Matt Strom has been lights out. Jeff Hoffman, both of those guys were all-stars. And I think that stronger bullpen is going to be what pushes us further into the postseason, maybe even into the World Series, where we match up with Craig Kimbrell and the Baltimore Orioles.
Ooh, look at you predicting already some World Series matchups as we have it. Regardless of what happens, we're going to have a great next month and a half of baseball before we head into the postseason. We got plenty to talk about. You can find that all on Athlon Sports. And Troy, where can they find your work specifically, and where can they find you on socials?
Yeah, Inside the Phillies on Athlon Sports is where you can find my work. And then you can find me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. I usually tweet throughout all the Phillies games, so you can come hang out with me there and chat with me and let me know how you think the Phillies are going to be doing the rest of the year.
All right, I love it. And if you think the Phillies can get through this stretch and maybe make it to the World Series, let us know in the comment description below. Where do you predict the Phillies to be when we hit the offseason? Are they going to be the 2024 World Series champs? Is that going to happen? I don't know. Let us know. But enjoy this happy hour version of First Pitch. Enjoy the weekend of baseball, guys. We'll be back here with another episode on Monday, bright and early. Probably some more happy hour episodes as well throughout the week. We got plenty, and we're going to have this guy, Troy Brock, back on a few times to talk Phillies and more baseball as well. You don't have to just talk just Phillies, you know, Troy. We could talk some more baseball.
There's baseball outside of the Phillies?
We'll teach him, folks. Don't worry. That's what we do here at First Pitch. But other than that, guys, we'll see you back here on another episode of First Pitch.